going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome back. Hour two, a flurry in the first hour. The Bills, big trade up, getting from 56, trading both 56 and 62, by the way, to move up to 41. They just took South Carolina's TJ Sanders, defensive tackle. We'll get into more of that in just a moment. While we were away, two players off the board, one to the Jets right after the Bills, Mason Taylor, the tight end three in this draft from LSU. And moments ago, we had whom? Alfred Collins, the other, I think, real legit defensive tackle at the top that's worth a top 45 pick out of Texas. But guys, overall, you know, I know we were kind of talking off air while we were on break there. You know, Sanders is probably not the people eater, the true one technique, the over 300 pounds, but this is not a team that has, you know, there was a lot of projection. Me, I know Anthony from Cover One, talked with a lot of people that were like, listen, if they're going to go with a big, true anchor that's a run defender at the one technique, it'll be the first time they do it. It will represent a shift in thought, a shift in scheme, a shift in who they covet at those positions. And listen, this is the exact type of player I do think the Bills look at and covet on the interior of their defensive line. I also think he represents the last true juiced guy that can get after the passer. And if the Bills were really saying, hey, we want to solidify the interior of our defensive line, but what we really value is the higher end pass rush ability, this is the last player in the draft at this position that has that elite trait. I mean, he's twitchy, like has that ability to penetrate, get upfield, but is also a run stuffer. He's not an Ed Oliver in that he's just a penetrate, get upfield, and you could take advantage of him. He is very quick, quick hands, can move around on the defensive line. So I like the pick. I personally was looking more of an ideological shift towards
too.
A bigger player. Mm-hmm. Alfred Collins on the board. Apparently, you know, he just goes here at 43. But all in all, Zach, we'll start with you. They got two positions everybody thought they were going to go after. They go with two SEC players, high-level athletes. And the other thing I'll say about Sanders as well, you know, just kind of looking through some of his numbers here. I mean, we're looking at a – how old is he?
I believe he's 22. Either 22 or 21.
Yeah, he's 21.
Yep.
So they get two 21-year-olds in this draft. Young, SEC, high ceilings. I like both picks.
Young guys, SEC guys, they didn't leave school. They stayed at the same school. I know Maxwell Harrison, I saw yesterday before the draft, he was on with On3. It's a college football recruiting site, and they talked to him about that. He was big on, I want to stay at one school. I want to build a legacy there, the whole thing. I wonder if Sanders is something similar. Again, he played, at least fully played 3 years. I think he redshirted his freshman year. Harrison, the same thing. I just, it's twitchy. Twitchy can be used for both guys. and they're high-level athletes. They have a ton of potential. I think it still does fill up somewhat of a need next to Ed Oliver in terms of just having – he's 6'5", 300 pounds. He's got both the rush-stopping ability – or the run-stopping ability, the pass-rushing potential. And that's my thing is if you were going to make that trade up, I thought it was maybe for Edge, for Ezraku. Instead, they just do it in the interior, which I have no problem with. I do, though, still think, Nate – it leaves open the idea of, and I know many people aren't a huge fan of this, but if he's there in the fourth round, Deion Walker out of Kentucky being, you know, 6'7", 340 pounds, he would maybe be more closely aligned to the philosophical shift of just put the big guy in there, he's going to eat up space, let Ed Oliver go to work. He might be there because now you do got to think, though, well, yes, TJ Sanders is 6'5", 300 pounds. They've got a lot of D tackles and similar builds. Because you got to remember Dwayne Carter from last year as well. So I do still think, especially with they still have some fourth-round picks, they are going to get some kind of big body in there that you just are like, hey, if you can get fleet of foot, you're going to be perfect.
I will say that I'm the one that probably likes this pick the least in that term because I would like a little bit of a shift in that ideology, especially because of the fact that this team has been, over the past couple of years, suspect against the run.
We've got to pick in the Dallas Cowboys.
Hello, Wisconsin.
Thank you.
With
Thank
the 44th you. Pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Dallas Cowboys select Donovan Ezraku, defensive end, Boston College.
Okay, Cowboys getting some value here. A player I know a lot of people liked in the first round. The Cowboys go for guard in the first round and in the second round, maybe to pair on the other side of Micah Parsons. So, I mean, if you're talking about having high-end edge pass rush, you're getting that with Parsons and now Ezraku.
Or this is my agent is not talking to you anymore, Dallas, so Ezraku is going to be your long-term replacement for Micah Parsons. Who knows?
That would be very the circus that of would Dallas, be very Dallas-y.
Yeah, it would be very Dallas-y, especially with how Jerry Jones has negotiated contracts. To go back on the Bills thing with Sanders, I don't love the pick. I think that I'm still of the like that I would have loved to see that philosophy shift. They are suspect against the run. A run-stuffing type player would be ideal for me as my one tech. And it's almost like it's a redundancy of some sorts. But that said, he comes in, he's an immediate contributor too.
I agree with that.
Like you said, he has juice, he has pass rushing capabilities, so that will help. There are positives to it. I just am the one in this room I like the pick the least. That doesn't mean that I hate the pick. I just would have liked a little bit of more beef to my selection there. And it's just lacking a little bit of that weight to me. But overall, not bad.
If you asked me which of the two I wanted, would it be Sanders or Collins? I personally would have liked Collins. But yes, because of the same reasons you're talking about, I was looking for a little bit more size, a little bit more run-stuffing ability. But I think all in all, it's
not a bad pick.
I think it's a high-end, high-caliber player with twitchiness. Yes. He's got some speed to him. He's young. And I like them going, listen, I mean, if you're going to follow anything Howie Roseman does, take SEC defenders.
It is also, this is a player that he does have an immediate ability to contribute. You put him next to Ed Oliver, and you can actually cause some havoc on a third and long. And that will help you, especially when you just drafted a rookie cornerback. Those are never easy to project how well they're going to do.
All right, we've got the Colts on the clock, and the pick is in. So quickness here at the 45th overall pick in the second round.
Man, it feels so good to be out here. Didn't have the opportunity in 2020 due to circumstances, but I'm back in Wisconsin. It's always a good time out here, man. Huge shout out Salem City, man. This is a dream come true, but Colts Nation, let's find out who my new teammate is going to be, man. Let's go. Let's keep this train rolling on day two. And with that being said, with the 45th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, my Indianapolis Colts select JT Tuimoloau, DN, Ohio State.
So two defensive ends. This is where I would bet the run on defensive ends happens.
I think it's kind of starting already if you look at just pass rushing with TJ Sanders. I do know this is a player I believe Brett Coleman and EJ Snyder are pretty big fans of. They crunch a lot of film over on the Bootleg Football Podcast. I think this is a guy that they were pretty big fans of. It's never a bad idea to go to the national championship winning.
Is this the seventh Ohio State player taken in the top 45 of this draft?
Not a bad idea to go to the national championship winning team. And outside of a really, really poor game against Michigan, they were nearly unstoppable across the board. They lose to Oregon in Eugene, and then they play them again, and they whooped them. I mean, like that roster is loaded. And probably, to be fair, we're going to see Jack Sawyer go tonight, too. And with this run now on edge, it could be a lot sooner than maybe I'd even be comfortable with Sawyer going. He was not a player that I had thought about a lot for the Bills.
JT,
yeah.
No.
He's not a player I thought a lot about for him.
I didn't care for either edge rusher. But listen, I mean, the Colts last year, they get the kid from UCLA high in the draft pick in the draft last year in the first round.
First defensive player taken.
Yes. So they are working on the edges there in Indianapolis. They get Tyler Warren in the first round. Interesting little run here for the Indianapolis Colts. Now on the clock, the LA Rams, who, if you remember, moved out of the first round. They got a number one pick next year from the Atlanta Falcons. So this is the first pick for LA. Gentlemen, could this be where Shedeur Sanders, the slide stops for him?
It would be hilarious to me because Sanders, like all the bellyaching from the national media.
I think it would be the best place for him.
It was exactly what I was going to say. All the bellyaching, and he ends up in a place better than anyone could have dreamed of for him.
He doesn't have the potential.
It's not even the potential thing for me. It is, can you run a Sean McVay offense?
Oh, I don't disagree. But McVay will also tell you need to have something. You need to have something.
I did trade Jared Goff because Goff was just like he was good, but not good enough.
And Goff has an elite NFL arm.
Yeah.
And he still traded him. I think if they're going quarterback here, I think it's Milroe. Oh, Milroe, you can stick in the virtual simulators. You can work on his reps. Stafford's there. Everyone is nearly consensus that Milroe has the highest potential of any of the quarterbacks. He's just maybe the worst thrower right now. If you can fine-tune the passing, and in a year or two, Stafford retires and you've got your guy ready to go, Milroe's running is compared to the likes of Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels. So even then, you can also have a package for him today, which I would imagine Sean McVay would love to do. I don't know if they go quarterback here because I think yesterday's trade has put them more in a position of, let's worry about that next year. We'll have ample ammunition if we need to go play around in the first round to try to get our quarterback. But at the start of this draft, I actually really like the idea of Milroe going to the Rams, maybe even round one if they loved him that much.
So let me ask you this, and I guess it's a little bit of a question I'll ask myself. I was not in for Derek Harmon because I did not view him as a true one technique.
Yeah.
I guess
agreed.
Partially, which is why I'm probably in the middle of you two.
Yes.
You know, Zach likes the pick. I like it, but I have some contingency. I have some questions about it. You don't love it, especially for the pick. But while we're talking about him, let's go live because TJ Sanders is meeting with the media right now.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Just tell us some of your biggest attributes. What would you bring to this Buffalo Bills organization?
Well, I think I bring a high motor guy, a guy who gets after it every snap, someone who doesn't quit on games, quit on plays, if the game's out of reach or, anything like that, I'm always, playing to the hardest, highest capabilities that I have. And just a nonstop mentality, honestly.
What are some of the things that you are excited about with playing alongside Ed Oliver?
Someone who's been in the league, been there, done it, someone who can definitely, I can get under his wing, teach me the ropes, show me things and know how to be a pro, when I first get there.
How did the game of basketball, teach you some things in football? How did basketball help you translate over?
I think more so of just lateral movements, like crossovers or between the legs, things like that. I feel like, on my tape a lot, you see me stunting to another gap, quickly, I feel like that definitely attributed to it. Just being able to have that lateral movement, so sudden. I like to say when I'm stunting, I feel like I'm doing a crossover, got to rock them by and get by them, get to the basket. That's kind of how I describe it.
All right, so you're a chicken wing guy, I'm hoping, right? Are you ready? Are you ready for wings galore? Because this is what you're about to face right now.
Hey,
are you ranch or blue cheese?
Well, I ain't blue cheese, I can tell you that right now.
You might have to change your thought when you get up here, man, but congratulations.
Yes, sir, appreciate it.
Hi, TJ, Sal Capaccio, WGR Radio in Buffalo, congratulations.
Yes, sir, thank you.
So you're joining already a fellow SEC draftee. The Bills selected Maxwell Harrison in the first round. Can you just kind of talk about the competition you've faced playing in the SEC, how that's prepared you for the next level?
Yeah, man, coming out of high school, South Carolina was my first scholarship. So just, you know, being close to home, it was the SEC, you know, and at the time, you know, still is known as the hardest league in America other than the NFL. And, you know, just wanting to go there, you know, if you can't play in, I feel like if I couldn't play in the SEC, you know, I couldn't play in the league. So I wanted to go to the SEC and really prove myself, you know, prove that I belong.
Do you know Maxwell at all? Did you get to know him through the draft process? I know your different positions, but you're both on the defensive side.
Nah, yes, sir. Me and Max, now we got to know each other quite a few, you know, at the Senior Bowl and the Combine. You know, that's my guy for sure. You know, I'm ready to play beside him.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mick. Congratulations again.
Sir, thank you.
That's all the questions we have for today. Thanks for your time.
All right, there is Bill's new defensive tackle, TJ Sanders. He was just live speaking with the media following his selection at 41st overall. you know, making my way through Twitter, looking at some of the commentary. Jordan Reed of ESPN really thought the fit was ideal here with TJ Sanders. Basically had mocked him in most of the Bills drafts. He thought that he would be a pick for the Bills at 30. So a guy that, just in terms of scheme fit, it's really kind of what I'm seeing from a lot of the film folks, that scheme-wise, what we know they like, they covet, the skills they covet. TJ Sanders was a home run pick in terms of you know, guys that really fit what the Bills have liked to do and historically have liked to do under Sean McDermott.
And again, this has to just do with more of, I would have loved to see a little bit of a philosophy shift. And really, it is just, oh, Will Johnson to the Cardinals, as that's about to get announced. So the fall for Will Johnson about to stop here.
I feel like that's a great
pick.
Arizona's having a sneaky, sneaky good draft.
They are.
I liked Walter Nolan for them.
I like
he was
Walter
the
Nolan
twitchiest defensive tackle.
Yes.
They need help on defense. It's been an issue for them. They have a defensive coach in Jonathan Gannon. So, yeah, we finally see the fall stop for Will Johnson. And for a team that I think, you know, I mean, getting Will Johnson, who I think was the consensus number two cornerback in this class without the injury concerns, great value at 47 for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, this is good value, and it's also one of three players whose fall stops from the first round that we were kind of mystified about. And Sanders, Shadur Sanders, I should say, being one of them, obviously, that was talked about the most. But Mike Green and Will Johnson were the other ones that we were talking about the most last night when it comes to those falls.
All right, let's go live to the Wester Hotline because Sal Capaccio joins us live from One Bills Drive. Sal, you got an opportunity. The media got an opportunity to speak to TJ Sanders there. Looking around, and I'm sure you've done the same as you scroll through Twitter after the pick, really a lot of the draft, I know Jordan Reed and our guys over at Cover One, everybody kind of agreed, a really, really easy pick for the Bills just in terms of the skills they covet, the type of player that they like on the interior defensive line really seemed like a great fit right from the beginning.
Yeah, I think TJ Sanders is a guy that can come right in here and be a part of the Bills rotation. A little bit smaller than I thought that they would go for here on the defensive line, but I don't know what options really were available at any value here for the bigger bodied one techniques. And, you know, he could still possibly do that. He's not a super big guy. He's more of an undersized player. And that's already what they have, but I'm interested to see what the Bills' plan is for the one technique. Right now, they still have Daquan Jones. Maybe Dwayne Carter could be somebody who winds up playing there. But that being said, I mean, figure it out, right, later, because this is a player that plays in the SEC. He's been productive, good player. He's long. I think length is a big deal for the Bills. They've talked about that as well. So TJ Sanders just kind of fits kind of the way that I thought this would go, which is the Bills sticking with defense and – as I said yesterday, I thought they'd come out of this with two defensive linemen and a corner. I think, you know, we're two-thirds of the way there, guys.
Yes, Al, and obviously the trade up. I mean, it was a bit of a swing, right? I mean, they moved up 14, 15 spots. They moved back from 62 to 72. So this was a player, too, I think, Sal, that probably was the dividing line between, and I mentioned this, like, he was the last defensive tackle left in the draft at 41 with real, I think, high-level juice as a pass rusher. And if you're looking at what, they've coveted, which is juice on the inside, twitchiness, violent hands, like, those are all, you know, kind of keywords you'd use in describing Sanders, but I think if you were looking to help the pass rush, this was probably the last guy you could probably get in this draft that was going to fit in that category.
From the interior, yes. I think possibly Azaraku. No, no, it's Azaraku. I want to make sure I say it right. It's Azaraku is how you say his name from what we looked up. But either way, the same guy we're all talking about here. I thought that that could be the pick here because I do think that they still want to, you know, get a little bit of help on the edge, but the more pressing need is still on the interior. Look at the numbers. But you're right, they move up to do it. And, of course, we all knew Brandon Bean would find a way to get in the third round, right? So that's what happened here. He trades a pick, trades up, uses that second-round pick. He gets a third-round pick back. So it's a swap of three picks for three picks, essentially, which means the Bills are still with 10 picks holding in this draft. Now, I don't know what odds you could have got, guys, that Jackson Dart would have been drafted before Shedeur Sanders. And then Schoff, is that how you say his name? I think the quarterback, right? I always do this wrong.
Shuck, for some reason, despite how it's spelled.
Yeah, right, Shuck. Right. The odds of him going before Sanders, pretty wild. But how about this? TJ Sanders went before Shedeur Sanders. He's the first Sanders off the board.
Yeah. Crazy.
I think we could be waiting to the third round, potentially, for Shedeur Sanders. We'll see, though. On the third round, though, Sal, the Bills do get in there. There was a thing a lot of us talked about, them potentially wanting to trade back into the third round. They have a cornerback. They have a defensive tackle. Right now, what's the position? Maybe not necessarily a player, but position group you're looking at maybe for the Bills to strike there now at pick 72.
Yeah, I'm still looking at the front seven, and I think edge is still in play. And guys, actually, I think they could still go defensive tackle again. I don't know if they found their bigger guy. Maybe you can get a guy that you think just wasn't the value there. You know, we'll see. I think that could still be in play. I think safety starts to be one here that you could think about. Xavier Watts still out there, I think, Nate, right? I think he's still out there.
Yep, that's correct.
If I remember correct, I didn't see him come across. Maybe safety. I think at this point, you know, yesterday I was all about you can't do safety, and right, I don't think the Bills would have. You know, now you're getting the third round with their next pick. These are backup players, essentially, guys that maybe could play in packages. You find roles. They could play special teams. Wide receiver, not off the board. I still think it's going to be defense. I think I've said for a while I thought the Bills' first three picks would be on defense, provided they stay near where they are. But now they have moved a little bit, so wouldn't stun me if it wasn't on defense. But I still think they go on the defensive side of the ball.
Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline here is the Bills next, selecting at 72. When it comes to it, Sal, Sanders is a smaller frame. You said it as well that they may not even be done addressing the defensive tackle position there. But wouldn't you think, though, that there's been quite a bit of an investment on the position? I mean, yes, Ogunjobi is suspended. Dwayne Carter's on this roster. Ed Oliver's there. Daquan Jones is still on the roster. And now you add TJ Sanders. This does seem like it might be the group that they might comfortably also roll into camp with.
Yeah, they'll add more, though, just by pure numbers they have to. You know, Derek, but I think for the main group, you're probably right. You know, I wouldn't doubt, though, you still get another veteran or two. I mean, think about what they have right now. They have six defensive tackles. One of them is suspended for six games, though. So you have five, and one is Zion Logue. So I think you're probably looking at more. And right now, this is the 68th player on the Bills roster. They still have 22 more to go to get to the maximum of 90. 22 players, they're going to add some more defensive linemen, some more defensive tackles, and more at other positions.
All right, Sal, we appreciate you joining. We'll hear from you again throughout the evening as well. The Bills pick next at pick number 72 in the third round. So thank you very much, Sal.
All right, you got it. You got it, guys. Thanks.
All right, Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. While we were speaking, another offensive lineman off the board. Not shocking on this one. The Houston Texans at 48th overall. They trade up with the Las Vegas Raiders to finally get their offensive lineman. Arianti Ursary is the name.
Out of Minnesota.
That sounds right.
Out of Minnesota. Yep. So, this is the best I could do on that one.
Honestly, you did a good job because that's probably the stab I would take at it. And, hey, you know what? The Texans, they finally get themselves an offensive tackle, something that they desperately need, and an opportunity as well to really try to lock in a little bit here with what they're doing in this draft. they've been moving around the board a decent amount. So I don't hate what the Texans have done in the second round here. They also have two picks in the third. So that said, yeah, there's something to what the Bills will end up doing early in the third round there. It's the eighth pick of round three. There still might be starter caliber players available.
I think it's wide receiver.
I liked Sal's point about potentially another defensive tackle that they could take in the draft. But, I mean, Ogunjobi again, mm-hmm. Dwayne Carter. I mean, they've got, listen, if nothing else, they've got a lot of competition across the board at defensive tackle. Really, the defensive line at large.
The best players will play. I'm going wide receiver here. They brought in too many guys that fit around late second, early third. They may not be there ultimately when they pick, but
some of them might.
Let's go live. This is the Bengals. Pick is in at pick number 49.
With the 49th pick in the draft of the 2025 NFL Draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Demetrius Knight Jr., linebacker, South Carolina.
All right, another linebacker off the board for Cincinnati.
Some real Tim Murray vibes on that pick.
Yeah, it was.
He hated to be up there. he was not thrilled to be up there.
I'll tell you this. He is not in Dane Brugler's top 100.
Mm-hmm. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
It's not a good linebacker class.
It's not.
And maybe they thought they liked this guy and they thought, but Demetrius Knight, Dane Brugler had him as a third to fourth round grade. And he is, no, he's 25 years old.
Oh my goodness.
That's interesting. Yeah, 6 year senior.
Interesting.
Wow.
All right, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a timeout. On the other side, we'll continue our coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft at 8:45. Anthony Prochaska from Cover One is going to join us to talk a little bit about TJ Sanders and the Bills' first-round pick, Max Harrison, as well. I appreciate you listening to our continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft here on WGR. Welcome back to our
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Seth. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning. Because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft here on WGR. Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones. Let's go right to Green Bay because the pick is in at number 51. The Panthers trade up.
The Denver Broncos have traded the 51st pick to the Carolina Panthers. With the 51st pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select Nick Scorton, DN, Texas A&M.
Another edge rusher coming off the board here, and the Panthers get an edge rusher, A&M. So Nick Scorton, a name that I know a lot of Bills fans have talked a lot about.
A lot of fans talked about. He is part of that very disappointing Texas A&M defense, though. A lot of good athletes, a lot of good players on paper. It just didn't ultimately turn into that. I think I want to make sure on his stats, he was somebody that was dominant the year prior to going to A&M. Yeah, he led the Big Ten in sacks at Purdue with 10, and you cut that in half when he goes to A&M.
Is A&M just where defense goes to die?
Well, as a Longhorn fan, I shouldn't talk about this.
No, please, go on.
I won't be kind.
Do you have to be?
No, they're useless. I hate the Aggies. Moving on.
But this is interesting in a sense of he does have years of pass production.
Mm-hmm.
He does seem to, like, he's a bendy prospect when it comes to the edge. I do like this for Carolina. I would have liked him for Buffalo. And
at this spot, I wouldn't have hated it.
Yeah. So it's a good pick. It's a solid one. And it also is an interesting anecdote. Purdue has a pretty good connection with Super Bowl appearances, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, Scorton drafted from A&M.
Yeah, he's drafted from A&M. He doesn't count
anymore.
So
does it count?
He does not count anymore, no.
We did also miss a pick, guys. So quickly, Elijah Arroyo goes 50th overall, the tight end out of Miami. So four? Is that five tight ends?
I believe that is five. I was telling Derek, I don't know enough about him to really care. I sort of like, though, what Seattle is doing with Emenwori and Zabel. I just don't know enough about Arroyo.
It is. It's five
I really
tight
just don't
ends.
Know.
Meanwhile, the Titans back on the clock, and that pick pick is coming in as well. But who cares about
Man,
the
they're
Titans.
Hot and heavy right now. I love it.
And with the 52nd pick in the 2025 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans select Aluwafemi Aladejo.
Another edge.
Another UCLA. Edge. Yeah, this is the run on. This is
the
run
on edge rushers.
Yeah.
And
I now wonder, too, if Buffalo maybe looks at a guy out of LSU, Braden Swinson, in the third round.
Or Josiah Stewart out of Michigan.
Could be that, too. Yeah. I mean, like, these guys are just going. Landon Jackson hasn't been taken yet, right? We didn't miss him?
Correct. He is still available.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, well, so is Mike Green, but...
yeah, we kind of...
Yeah, he's going in, like, the fourth round now.
Yeah, we're kind of starting to understand that one.
Yeah. At this point,
yeah, we're having
you're
a little bit of
for a reason.
We're having a little bit of run on edge here, linebacker. I guess. I mean, it's not a good class. So basically, when any of them are taken, you're like, oh, okay, here's the run.
Yep,
it's good. It's going to be one guy per round.
One guy per round.
It's two in the second round. I shouldn't be nasty like that.
But it is back to back picks that an edge rusher goes. There's mm-hmm. Raku earlier on as well. So there is a little bit of a run going on with pass rushers. Sawyer, Birch, Jackson, players that could also go in this run, perceived mm-hmm. run that could happen.
I want to
Buccaneers
see
pick is in.
I want to see Tampa take another receiver.
Oh my God, that would be nightmarish.
I just want it for obvious reasons.
Yeah, no, like if it's anything offense, I'm going to be stunned.
Do it.
So the Buccaneers on the clock. By the way, we will have Anthony Prochaska from Cover One joining us here in about 10 minutes. Did a lot of film work on both Bills first and second round picks, Max Hairston and TJ Sanders in the second round. So we'll have him here in a few moments as well as this draft continues. You know, we are at pick 53 now. And, you know, other than, you know, some of the surprises on the last couple of picks, I think for me, you know, taking a linebacker that's 25 years old from the Bengals is an interesting choice in the second round.
Hell yeah.
But, you know, when you look at the big board, you know, there are still some names, I think, high on this list. You guys mentioned Landon Jackson. Trey Amos, still available.
Yes, very much so.
The corner market is still very much alive.
How many corners have we had taken in round two?
Will Johnson.
That's
I don't
it.
Know.
That's
the,
it.
That's it.
That is
that's
it.
And, you know, listen, I know both Eric,
the corner
Eric Turner and Anthony both preferred Trey Amos over Hairston. But it looks like the rest of the league didn't. I don't know if the Bills don't take Hairston, if he's still available or not.
Could be.
But.
Yeah. It is curious, though, that's been a cornerback. I know it wasn't perceived as a great top-end class. It was considered pretty good depth-wise.
There could be a run here before the Bills pick
in the third round.
I think it's coming at some point.
It's coming at some point. But I think it's also you saw yesterday with the offensive lineman of we don't think there's a lot available in round two. Let's go get them now. You're sort of seeing that with the edge rushers now where it's, okay, we got to get these guys in this pick because they're not going to be there coming up. We're corner.
Meanwhile, corner.
I think there's still just this weight of like, well, no one else is taking somebody.
There's
Will
four
Johnson
of them.
Kind of fell into his own category because of the injury concerns. He really should have been a top-end first-round pick, so he's kind of his own guy. I think it will be once somebody like a Trey almost goes that maybe you'll start to see teams go, oh, hell, now it's time.
Names that Bills fans have familiarized themselves with, Trey Amos, Ezra Thomas, Siobhan Revell, Benjamin mm-hmm. Morrison, Darian Porter, all available. None of them have been taken, and it's a little head-scratching to me at this point. But it is the fact that, like you said, if teams can recognize they can get a position in a certain round, they're working the board to their value at this point. And trades have been moving around frequently enough that you kind of go and get who you want when you want them.
Yeah.
So had the Bills not been available to take Hairston there in day one, there could have been the idea that Buffalo moved up by now to go get their corner just to make sure that they get theirs.
Right, right. And to Nate's point, it may not even have been Harrison's fault. It really could have just been no one else is taking corners. Why would we go get one now when we like this group as a whole. I don't love that drafting philosophy. I mentioned I really take the guy you like the most.
And that's what the Bills ended up
doing. And that's what the Bills have done. But there's a lot of teams, and it's not necessarily wrong, of just, hey, we're going to kind of take, you know, of this group, we're happy with any of these guys.
Also, I'm starting to think, did the league also view Harrison on a different tier as the rest of this group?
Probably because of the 4.28 speed.
Yeah, the speed.
Yeah, I agree. The speed probably is why. All right. He's looked at differently.
Let's take a timeout, and coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR is presented by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Northtown Automotive Group, Northtown Automotive, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Quilted Squirrel. Great websites, more leads, real growth for your business. Learn more at TQSMarketing.com. On the other side, Anthony Prochazka of Cover One joins us to help us break down the first two picks, including TJ Sanders, who went about 12 picks ago at pick number 41. Don't go anywhere. Continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft continues on. Nick Eary, Derek Kramer, and Zach Jones here with you for the next few hours on WGR.
Chargers select Trey Harris, wide receiver, Mississippi.
All right, welcome back to WGR's continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft. Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, and Zach Jones with you. Trey Harris, my love affair at wide receiver off the board. Really love what they're showing. Trey Harris is the quarterback in high school throwing to
somebody.
Is an NFL player. I don't know. Regardless, let's go to the Western Hotline now because Anthony Prochazka of Cover One joins us now to do some reacting to the Bills' first two picks, most notably TJ Sanders. Welcome, Anthony. Good evening to you. Thanks for joining, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
All right, buddy. So let's talk TJ Sanders here. You and I were both Team Fat Man, and we didn't get the true, you know, one tech with two gap potential and, you know, run stuffing ability. But, you know, I mentioned on Twitter and was talking about it on air. This really felt to me like the dividing line between maybe the last true pass rushing kind of really high ceiling in terms of pass rush ability at the defensive tackle left in this draft. And the Bills decided they weren't going to wait till 56 to do it.
Yeah, I think depending on how you feel, you could make a case for Darius Alexander, the defensive tackle from Toledo, with his length and his size and, you know, the ability to play the run still and anchor and limit some displacement, but the upfield possibility and what he could be. But TJ Sanders is very much in that mold as well. And if we're continuing to kind of stick to the archetype, like we were talking about on Twitter a little bit, or the Bills sticking to the archetype, I should say, TJ Sanders is in that mold, that upfield penetrator slasher type of guy where they prioritize juice and violence and penetration more than they do the fat men that we covet in terms of stout and gumming up the middle and force multiplication in that way. And, you know, I think you're pretty spot on with kind of, if you're making that divider line, TJ Sanders was a significant one for them in the second round.
So it's easy, I think, for us to talk about, you know, all the strengths of a player like Sanders. SEC, by the way, love the fact that they went with two SEC defenders, two positions I think everybody telegraphed them taking in this draft. What are some of your concerns? I mean, obviously not the 300-pounder as we were just talking about that maybe we were looking at or potentially coveting. What are some of your concerns as, you know, listen, I mean, they've got plenty of bodies now across the defensive line. What maybe gives you cause for concern? You know, is he a player you're expecting, I think, right away to be a part of the rotation, but is he a player that you think is maybe going to push, you know, Daquan Jones off the field for?
For me, that would be a little tough just because of his play style and the size. I don't think he's that guy that you want putting as an early down one tech. Yeah, I don't want him having to worry about the double teams and anchor and gum things up and worry about displacement. He can battle against double teams. He's a guy who plays with a lot of tenacity and the violence and pop and everything that allows him to succeed in getting upfield and penetrating. You see that against the run, but he plays with a narrow base at times, which can get him in trouble with displacement in general, but especially horizontally. His pad level is a bit inconsistent at times. That can kind of hinder him as well. And then you're just talking about overall size and frame and weight. And he's fluctuated a little bit. There's, you know, you even see it depending on what site you're looking at. Like, he's listed anywhere sometimes from 285 all the way to like 300, 305. He's played between 290 and 300 and 305. So I see him as more of a rotational three tech in the mold of an Ed Oliver, which is just a little interesting with Sean McDermott speaking several weeks ago about Larry Ogunjobi being more of a three tech. And so they seem to have a lot of these three techs with only Daquan Jones as kind of the prototypical space eater, body eater at one tech, which makes this rotation pretty interesting on the interior.
Anthony, moving a little bit over to what happened yesterday. The Bills ending up taking cornerback Max Hairston, and one that really does look like a promising high-ceiling type corner, elite speed. He does have a lot of playmaking ability and instincts to him. What did you think about the Bills with yesterday's selection in round one with Hairston out of Kentucky?
I like Max Hairston, and it's interesting to see them go a little bit against the archetype that they've traditionally gone with at corner. You know, he is good in zone, and he is a very, very functional and capable coverage guy. But more from a skill set and traits perspective, you know, the juiced up, athletic, traitsier type of guy has really been the antithesis of what they've gone with. You know, Tre'Davious White, very skillful, very technical. Benford, a little bigger body, bigger frame, similar for Rasul Douglas. And then guys like Levi Wallace, Dane Jackson. The only guy they really bet on the traits with was Kyer Elam. That obviously didn't work out great. Now, Kyer and Max Hairston are two very different types of players with how they succeeded in college. And I like the pick with Hairston. I like what that athletic profile does in the corner room and what it means for the defense from a force multiplication standpoint. I think he needs to clean up some things as far as being a little too aggressive at times. And I think being of a leaner frame lends itself to the explosion and the twitch and the closing ability that he has, but it puts him at times at a disadvantage against bigger body guys or on plays downfield, and especially at the tackle point. And if you pair that lean frame along with some of the inconsistencies in his angles and decision-making coming forward, you see the inconsistencies in his tackling, which is also another interesting point considering how much the Bills have traditionally prioritized tackling at their corners. But he's a really explosive guy, a really fun guy to drop in your room, and gives them a lot of firepower back there.
You know, I'll say this too, is at 30, I think you're not going to get the perfect prospect, right, Anthony? I mean, he's a player that I think has some elite traits. And I think at 30, what you want to do is try to hope that you can find his weaknesses be things you feel like as a team, as a position group, or as a position coach, that you feel like you can help sort of developing. And it's not like, you know, tackling is, you know, a fundamental in football, but I think it was important to hear Brandon Bean call him a willing tackler. And I think that is something, if you feel like that's a guy that's shying away from contact, maybe that's the sort of player that you'd worry about. But you were never getting a perfect prospect at 30. I'll always say, if you're at 30 and you have a position of need like corner, take the guy with traits, and you got the fastest guy in the draft.
I think that's 100% spot on. And you see that reflected in the tackling. Like, the inconsistencies, they're not due to lack of effort. And so it's okay, let's clean up your angles a little bit. And that's on, clean up your angles, clean up your leverage. And that's such a huge part of it, because he is of a leaner frame. He doesn't have that margin for error where, oh, I'm a little off, so let me reach an arm out or reach a shoulder out. He needs to bring everything into his body and form guys up. And so if you can coach him a bit on the approach and then coach him up a bit at the tackle point and allow him to use more of his body from a technique standpoint instead of just kind of flinging himself at guys, it'll allow him to clean that stuff up. And the willingness gives you hope for that, because like you said, and like, you know, Bean said, and like you see on the tape, all over the tape, it's not for lack of effort. It's not because, oh, I don't want to tackle that guy, I don't want to go in there. He, you know, he'll force fumbles, he'll go at guys, he's just got to clean up the technique. But if you have the want to, that's a huge piece.
Yeah, Anthony, that was always something I've been seeing with Hairston now the last, you know, 24 hours or so, has been he maybe not is a great tackler, but he's sure willing to get involved. So, I mean, that kind of personality will help to try to clean his stuff up. Anthony, they are picking at 72, at least for right now. We'll see if they trade up. They do have still some needs. Wide receiver could be something. Xavier Watts at safety is still there. There's a few places they could go. What are you feeling right now, either position or specific player?
Man, my for so long, I've been somewhat dead set on the first three picks when, you know, two of them were at 56 and 62. My thought was, okay, you got to go corner, you got to go interior defensive line, you got to go edge. And I really thought Oluwafemi Oladejo from UCLA would be available at 62. When they traded back, I was like, okay, he still could be there. He went way earlier than I thought, mm-hmm. Tennessee earlier this second round. I still think you look at edge, you know, maybe Landon Jackson falls a little bit. I know they like Braden Swinson from LSU. Maybe they tie into Swinson there. I think edge is still a need on this team, not just because of the Hoyt six-game suspension, but you've got Joey Bosa this year. What are the odds that he comes back next year? If he balls out this year, he probably signs a big, you know, a two-year, $36, $40 million contract, doesn't come back. If he's injured and keeps along that track, do you want to bring him back? You got AJ Epinesa as a UFA next year. So I think dipping into the edge pool now could be very beneficial. But like you said, I think safety is probably the biggest wild card for me. Does Xavier Watts fall? Do they like somebody that's a little more dynamic like Andrew Makuba, or is Kevin Winston the guy, or Jonas Sanker, some kind of safeties that can make a difference? I also don't rule out, you know, a surprise spot like interior offensive line, given that Connor McGovern and David Edwards are both UFAs next year. And maybe it's, okay, we like Alec Anderson, but we still want to strengthen things, and now we're in best player available territory. I'm still looking at edge. I think safety's an outside shot, but there's some guys here that could fall at other positions that could really muddy that up from a fun perspective.
The Disguised Coverage Film Room podcast over at Cover One, Anthony Prochaska of Cover One. You can follow him on Twitter at pro double underscore, so two underscores, Ant, A-N-T, on Twitter. Anthony, thanks for being so generous with your time tonight and talking Bills with us. We appreciate it, man. Keep up the hard work, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks for having me. Enjoy your night, guys.
All right, but you too. Anthony Prochaska there of Cover One on the Western Hotline. We're going to take a timeout. We'll get you caught up with any of the picks we missed over the last little while. We are at pick 57 with Detroit on the board. We'll continue next here on our continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR.